If we have any residents that want to speak on any particular petition this morning, you could raise your hand or identify yourself if you want to hear.
How about a business?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
A business? Can that person respond as well?
Yes. Why don't you just state your name for
sure.
The record?
Should I sit down?
Everything's recorded. Yes, please.
My name is Michael Grill. I'm chairman of the 432 Columbia Street Condominium Trust, which is an office building at 1035 Cambridge Street on Columbia Street. You have it. There's a...
So is that number two?
Nine.
That is you, Jackie?
Yep.
Hi, Jackie.
Is that number two?
It is. 305.
Okay. I'm sorry, could you tell me your name again?
Michael Grill, G-R-I-L-L. Should I proceed?
Sure, or? Please.
Okay, so I've talked to Jackie from Eversource about this. They provided us with notice and a plan. Jackie sent a plan along to me. And it shows that the a line would be put underneath Columbia Street right near the entrance of our one of our parking lot entrances. We have three parking lot entrances on Columbia Street. And if you'd like, I can provide you a plan which shows those three entrances.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you.
Again, I provided this to Jackie at Eversource. So there's the proposed conduit. And we have a parking lot at number one, number two, and number three. The number three parking lot also is our loading dock. Two loading docks,
mm-hmm.
Which where we have FedEx and UPS deliveries. There are about 400, 350 employees in this building, including Cambridge Health Alliance. It's about 40 tenants in that building. And the I'm noting where the 305 Webster construction entrance is also.
Mm-hmm.
So trucks are constantly pulling up to that entrance. Unloading materials, 18-wheelers I'm talking about, that are on Columbia Street.
To the new construction site?
Correct.
While the construction?
At the new construction site. Today they're dumping gravel and they're pulling out soil with 18-wheelers at that location. They've provided us with, see where it says loading dock parking lot entrance where the words are? Right now there's no stopping area or no parking zone right underneath those words that run from our first driveway further up Columbia Street. I've not noted that, all the way to the third driveway. So that's a no parking area. So our goal that we've reinforced with DPW and transportation and parking is we'd like to have two lanes of traffic open at all times,
mm-hmm.
because this is a very traveled road for our vendors as well as businesses further down the street. They're just Somerville businesses that we don't really need to talk about them today. So with this conduit being placed, there's also the concern that the street will also be dug up because there's going to be a new 8-inch water line installed exactly crossing the location for the conduit. If you can take a look at the plan that they've provided. Do you have this plan?
I do.
We do.
Okay, so can you see where the 8-inch water line is?
We can.
Okay, yep. So that is going to be done, I don't know when, mm-hmm. but it is definitely going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many feet the electrical conduit is going to be placed down into the road. I don't know how many feet the water line is going to be placed into the road. It doesn't seem like it's a great idea to do construction twice,
mm-hmm.
especially if the water line is going to go below the electrical conduit. Which is what I'm guessing is what would occur.
You're right on that. The electrical conduit's going to be higher than the water main will be.
Right.
But they're also going different directions. They're going perpendicular to each other also.
Mm. Correct, but which is a bigger problem because it's one's going to go underneath the other one. So I talked to Jaya at DPW.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea about this. He's not aware.
No, he wouldn't know about electrical.
Right.
Yet. He would not know about that. And the water, the plan, depending how far how far out it is scheduled. He may not be aware of that at this time either.
No, he has met with me at the site.
So he knows about the water line then?
Yes, he knows.
Okay. Totally. But he didn't know about this.
He didn't know about this.
This is why we're going through this process.
Yes.
This is the beginning stages for this type of thing.
Understood. I'm just trying to limit the amount of disruption that occurs on this street so that we can continue to have access to the parking lots and loading zones of our property.
Mm-hmm.
We have tremendous disruption already with the construction going across the
yep.
street. And the developer has not been very cooperative. We've had to rely on the city agencies to assist us in getting the developer to be cooperative.
Right. Yeah, he hasn't been very cooperative, right. He hasn't been.
Well,
that's one reason why, that's the main reason why someone like Jay is out on site for coordination purposes and to hold people's, accountable for what they're doing in action and things like that.
It's been transportation and parking that's been doing that rather than Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Jay has not been tremendously helpful.
So given all that, this conduit is not for your building or your parking
lot. Oh, I know, it's for 305. I understand that.
So it's for somebody else.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Your concern is more about the access and the disruption of mm-hmm. of the area.
Right.
Correct.
Opposite of this construction site.
Right. And if Sergeant Lopes has not provided any details, even though sometimes the police have been requested to provide details to the construction site. So I can't count on, as an abutter, the police providing a detail, even if you forced Eversource to have a detail there.
Well, they are being forced to have a detail, but for I'm sure a number of reasons, the police department does not provide details. They have their own protocol and whatnot.
Understood. So I just like to make sure that either a detail is provided, or if a detail is not provided, then there is Eversource employees that are standing there and guiding.
Eversource always has police details.
Okay.
They have a work zone traffic.
We always do.
Okay.
They have a work safety zone traffic they need to uphold when they're set up.
Right. Well, what I also know is we had a power outage about 2 weeks ago at
okay.
the property because of an Eversource emergency work plan.
Yep.
And we've requested and still haven't found out why that occurred and what it was servicing and where the transformer blew or what happened. So I'm here specifically because Eversource doesn't really communicate very well. So Jackie, you'd love to find out why there was a power outage.
It's the first I heard of it.
It was scheduled from 12:30 to 8:30, mm-hmm. 12:30 at night to 8:30 in the morning, and it went until 2. So I'm not feeling really,
confident. It went to 2 in the afternoon?
Yes, correct.
And on what day was it?
About the 12th of February.
Well, okay, it's the first I heard of it, but that's not my department.
Do you have a customer rep from Eversource that you deal with?
No.
For you? Because you have large accounts, depending on...
No, we have 40 tenants that
okay,
have the accounts.
All separate. Okay.
All separately okay. metered. So we don't have anything in particular.
But as a property manager, you don't have a contact with Eversource?
I'm not the property manager. I'm the chairman of the conduit trust. I also own 58% of the units in the building. But we hire a property management company called
okay,
Lincoln Property
they
Company.
They can't... You can't ask them to... contact Eversource to find out what's going on with
the person that we contact doesn't return calls. James Sayer is their main contact, and we can't get a return call from James Sayer about what's going on. I've called James Sayer. I've talked to him once about a property I own in Westwood.
Okay.
So he's not very communicative. In fact, Eversource is generally not very communicative. I'm thrilled that you called back.
Is there a public relations person that can...
I can find out why you
yeah,
have
called. Concept.
And it would be Zamperelli too.
Yeah.
So I could always talk to him.
He would be the best person to get that.
Which I can send him.
Understood. I've received an email that had Zamperelli's name on it. Haven't received any information back from him.
On the outage?
That's correct.
Okay.
I'm now calling John Daly about our Westwood property problem. If he is the person that I can talk to about this
you
problem.
You can send me that too.
That would be.
I think between John Daly is pretty responsive and Bill Zamperelli. Those are probably the two key persons.
So again, I'm not feeling really great about what DPW does. I'm not feeling great about what Eversource does. So, and what the developer across the street is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure that when something like this occurs, it's done in a way that doesn't disrupt our business.
So the developer, Jackie, they've asked you for service to this facility, right?
Right.
Because we don't have anything else for telephone, for communications, or
mm-hmm.
anything else. So I'd you'll be in contact with the developer going forward?
Yeah.
You could ask them, I'd move that we continue this petition and have the developer come in with all requests.
The next one, okay.
Yeah, all requests.
Okay.
Communications.
Yep.
Electric, anything that he proposes to do out there for coordination. Because we wouldn't approve this without other. And secondly, on this same pole, offset from this conversation, there's a Crown Castle note on that pole, 79. So if they're planning on putting primary on that pole, something's going to need to
there's
be done.
There's a node, you know?
Yeah, the antenna. So you
guys, oh, a node.
Node, yeah,
I
I'm sorry.
A
Crown
node.
Castle node.
Okay.
And typically, it's a pole top. Typically, you guys don't run primary to that pole, so.
Okay, I'll find out about that one.
So if that needs to be moved, that's going to be an additional coordination and an additional petition from Crown Castle.
May I request that DPW be brought into this to find out the timing for that as well?
Well, they have to, because if this is approved, and when this package does get approved, all the utility companies come together, and if, assuming it does get approved, it needs to go through DPW, electrical department, and DPW for a street opening permit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I go back to DPW's part already. The reason the transportation, the traffic and transportation is involved with this is because DPW's initiative to get them involved along with the developer, even though the developer is not working to the level we'd like to have them work to. That's the reason traffic is involved in this, because of DPW's efforts. So we will maintain.
Traffic and parking are involved because of my efforts.
Okay,
DPW did not coordinate.
I'm sure it's a cooperative, but anyway, we'll be involved again. And okay. Continue to be involved, and you know I'm not going to sit here for DPW and guarantee that you'll never be disruptive. There'll always be some trucks in the way of some other trucks and maybe some equipment and things like that. But we're going to do the best we can to try to alleviate as much as we can.
I understand that we're next to a construction site. That's not the problem. The problem is when people don't communicate with us or tell us something that doesn't happen, or don't talk to us at all, and things happen. So I totally get the fact. I love the fact that there's a project going on across the street. It's much better than a vacant warehouse.
Okay.
So it's all good, except for disrupting the business of the building.
That happens in a city atmosphere, I guess, at times. You know?
Without notice, without, it's when people can have the ability, mm-hmm. or do have the ability to provide notice, and it's not provided.
Okay, so the motion is to continue?
Second.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
John Daly's on top.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I'm sorry, can I get your name again before?
Michael Grill, Grill. My company is Fairlane Properties.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. You're welcome. I'm certain you have lots of residents.
Residents for which petition?
For number one, I think that's
Beach Street.
Sure.
Bill, I can send you his email. That guy.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, for the record, if you could just state your name and your affiliation as we go for the record.
Jackie Duffy Eversoil.
Phil Terzis, Acorn Holdings.
Could you spell you?
And residents, would you like to speak on this?
Yes.
You want to come forward? Just state your name and your address.
Judy Weiss, 21 Orchard Street. I'm Gretchen Friedinger, 18 Orchard.
I'm sorry, can you say your name again?
Yeah, Gretchen Friedinger, 18 Orchard.
Okay, you'd like to speak on this petition?
So, we are just looking for information because it wasn't quite clear from the description. We just need to know what's going to happen with this Eversource work.
Okay, so it'd probably best to go through the petition first, and if you have any questions.
Okay, great.
Would that be, okay.
That'd be great, thanks.
Okay, so this petition has been continued from last week, I believe. It was continued because we need clarification of previous petitions. in that intersection. And we were looking for updated plans.
Right. And what you wanted to know, if we were going to do Orchard Street and Beach at the same time, which we're not sure on right now, so that we were going to continue it, but he's here, Phil's here today to talk about, they have not got a building permit yet for it. So he might be better to talk about what's going in there for them.
Sure. Yeah, we've applied for a building permit. We've had all of our department reviews. The only sign-off we're waiting for is community development. They gave us a bunch of comments, and we responded last week. So once they sign off, then it's up to ISD to issue the permit.
Okay, so this is primary
yes.
service? Just transformer, or is there any switching in there?
Does
it's not a station, right?
No, there's a transformer.
Has the location been decided with this?
Yeah, we're approved by the planning board.
It has been approved by the planning board of where the transformer is going to be set.
Yeah.
What's going in there? Tell me, lady.
Oh, what's going in? I mean, the project? Are you not familiar with the project?
Oh, no.
James?
But, yes.
Yeah.
Where is the transformer going?
It's going...
right on the corner.
I don't know. Let's see. This is... basically, there's going to be an L-shaped building here, and the transformer will be sort of next to the Jehovah's Witness,
mm-hmm.
but set back off the street about 40 feet.
Okay.
And then there will be screening. They've asked us to put screening plants in front of it so it won't be visible from the street.
Yeah, this is Beach Street. And
this is
Orchard.
Beach. Yeah. This is the Jehovah's Witness building here.
This is the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
The driveway will be here, it's existing driveway, and then the transformer, this is not actually accurately drawn, but the transformer will be next to the new building, set back. There's a 10-foot buffer zone, and then two parking spaces, one of which is handicapped, and then the transformer will be behind that, so it's roughly 30, 40 feet away from the street.
Oh, it's back here?
Yeah.
If not, it's shown.
No, if
it's not
if,
correct.
If you want me to take your email addresses, I can send you a plan. It's also on the planning board website. All of our permitting materials are on the website, so you can see exactly where it is.
And can you use that?
Yeah.
You can use that.
Okay.
Can
or if you want to open
it, he said on that sketch, it's not,
that would be good.
It's not accurate.
So is this...
He said on that sketch it's more...
Is in the public way?
No.
More
it's on private property set back off the street. Probably like at least 40 feet.
And I guess the Jehovah's Witnesses know about this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good.
So you still have a planning board meeting scheduled?
No,
it has not been...
We have a special permit. We've gone through the whole special permit process, Historic Commission, Mass Historic...
Yeah.
All of the agencies now, we're just waiting for the building permit to be issued by ISD.
Do you have an expected rough date?
We filed in July
okay.
last year. So they're a little backed up.
And once that permit comes in, then the next thing will be EverSource coming in to do the work.
I think
the
we would do our
they
work.
They do their part first.
We do our part first to prepare for the transformer, build a transformer pad and all that. And put the conduit to the property line,
right.
And then they connect to our work. So we'll have to coordinate.
So I think part of your concern might have been what might have been happened in other areas where more equipment is installed rather than just a transformer, or switch, and everything else. But according for whatever source have told us, there's nothing else going on this property but a transformer, and it's going to be set back how many feet off the property line?
At least 40 feet.
At least 40 feet back from the sidewalk. Approximate size, height, width?
I think they're 10 by 10.
The pad?
Yeah.
But the transformer would sit on the pad, so it's
right.
smaller than that. Height-wise would be roughly within 6 feet.
Like
right, they're not that,
four
yeah.
or five and it would be screened, and that's
screened
part of what community development and others have.
Yeah.
And just one other question.
Yep.
It's just for EverSource about the work that's going to be done on Beach and Orchard, and roughly how long... Once you get started, about how long do you think that would take, and is it going to block access to the...
We would have a police detail, and they would block certain parts, but they wouldn't block the whole street. They don't allow us. So the policemen would do that.
And do you have any idea, like are we talking 2 days, a week?
It's probably going to be maybe like 2 weeks because we're doing a lot. There's like 94. There's a lot of conduit that's going in. But they still have to do their part, so we're talking a ways out.
And so I, too, am looking for details because we've been surprised by the way that the double poles go up and the three primary power lines get introduced. And so when this is described as there's going to be work at Beach Street and Northwesterly from MHC 1199, I assume MHC 1199 is a
manhole. A manhole.
That's a manhole. Mm-hmm. And if we walk the street, is that manhole numbered?
No.
No. Okay, so that northwesterly work on Orchard Street, is that, do you have an address for that? What I'm really concerned about also is the work on Orchard Street South, and then the Orchard Street southwesterly. Is that Allen Street? Is that Davenport?
No, it's on Orchard, and then it turns down Beach. So that's the plan. So it goes down Orchard to Beach. This is just so the person can know where they're going.
Orchard and Beach. This is, I believe, this is the house on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going through the intersection, and then I think there's into the sidewalk. This is all happening mm-hmm. into the sidewalk.
So that's Orchard Street North, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's also described here that there's going to be work at Orchard Street South, thence turning southwesterly. So where is that work?
They're describing this to this. This is turning south.
And is this under all underground?
Yes.
It's all underground.
All underground.
Because there's now a pole here with three primary wires, as I understand it, that goes across Beach Street.
Those are being removed with this project. Those are put up temporarily. From the first pole, the three primary lines that go across were put in temporarily until this work could be done.
And then they're going underground?
The poles will be removed.
The poles will remain, but the three wires that go across Beach Street will be removed.
The poles will remain, yes. That's a new pole, isn't it, to accommodate those three primary wires?
No, they're both existing. The pole 9, which is opposite, on both sides of Beach Street, those three primary lines were put in temporarily to pick up the development on Allen Street until this work could be done. Uh-huh. Once this work is done and these cables are able to be pulled in, those cables will come down.
Great. Okay, so, yep.
Just
so that's
the three that are crossing Beach Street. And that was the agreement with Eversource when they put those temporary cables up.
Okay, so those cables will go.
Yep.
So Beach Street will no longer be marred by that.
Correct.
And then
just crossing Beach Street, correct? Yeah.
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 And then there's digging on Beach Street.
There will
right?
be digging on Beach Street right down to the project. What they're proposing to do is enlarge the manhole on the north corner.
So
right now there is a
4x4
manhole.
They're
putting a larger manhole to accommodate these conduits. They're proposing to run two conduits down the sidewalk to the second pole on Orchard. And they're proposing to also install
four. Patty's neighborhood.
So there's, it's going along here.
So that end of Orchard Street gets dug up. In other words,
just the sidewalk on this side across. This is your house, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, across the street.
Okay, so those conduits are going underground, right?
They're proposing additional conduits to accommodate the loads and the load of this building. Yeah.
And then what's happening on Beach Street to accommodate?
That's they're running from the project where the darker line is that you can notice.
That's the dark line.
All right, they're proposing the new conduit to an existing manhole, which is 27319. And then from that manhole, they're also proposing additional conduit to the manhole at the corner of Orchard and Beach, which is now a 4x4, I believe, and they're going to enlarge it to a 6x10 within that sidewalk and within the public way. And then extending from that manhole down Orchard Street to the second pole 11 with two conduits.
Is that down here?
That's this.
And that's the section that they would probably be using to eliminate the overhead that's temporarily up there.
Ah, and then so when you're digging up Beach Street, is that digging up the sidewalk or digging up the street?
Oh, they're proposed right now to be in the street.
In the street. Beach.
Okay, because you know there's a fabulous there are old mature trees there.
Yes.
And we are so hurting for green space. And of course, when the 48 condos go up, they're going up on a garden that was supposed to be publicly accessible green space.
They're proposing to dig right along where the Eversource electric lines are right now, which are off the curb line in the street.
So my only concern is those trees will have roots that go into the road and into the sidewalk, and those are stately trees, and they're part of what help our neighborhood be habitable in the face of all this construction and density. So what's the likelihood how do we protect those trees when the street gets dug up and the root system gets, I know this is a little bit of a...
No, it's important. They're really old trees.
There'll be a site meeting out there before any construction takes place, and it's in all probability, you know, what I mentioned about the trees will be taken into consideration by folks from DPW, and we can, if we feel they'll be in any kind of jeopardy, we can request that Eversource or the developer provide an arborist to be on site, and
that would
you know,
be great
while the construction
is
being done, something to that effect.
Yeah.
The
accidents happen,
and those trees die, and then we're all sorry. I mean, I'm not, this isn't my, you know, I'm not controlling this work, this is Eversource, but the city arborist has agreed to come out to our site and observe and, you know, make recommendations about the trees, because we're replacing curbs along Beach Street, which also array around those trees and the roots and everything.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to help us, because the way it's done now, the curbs have to be reset with new granite curbs, which would be bigger pieces of granite to meet Cambridge standards. So we have to custom cut them around the roots and everything. So he's going to have to be part of that discussion.
So
the other thing we're going to do is, before we do the work this spring, limb the trees so that they can survive the work. We have Rick DuMont, who's our landscape architect, has made some recommendations about how to treat the trees and fertilize them and everything. So
and of course, we'd like the city arborist to be part of that, because it takes a long time for those trees to die, and then you guys are long gone, and maybe money goes into the tree fund, but we've still lost 100 years of trees. Mm-hmm. All right, so as long as everybody's aware of that, then the only other question I had, and this I think is actually a question, so given all the developments in the area since the special permit was granted, how do you know that these plans are still adequate? And the reason I'm asking this is because we've had a lot of excitement around electrical, as you guys probably know, apparently a transformer underground on Davenport blew up, and that was 2 weeks worth of, and then the transformer at the Rand, aka Slate Building, on Allen Street, which is one block up from Beach Street, got hit by lightning, and that blew up. So now, it seems like the infrastructure's pretty taxed for whatever reason. So who's looking at that?
Well, I think, well, the lightning strike, I do remember that. I don't know if there's much that they can do to avoid the lightning strike. I'm not sure. I know there was a large issue over on Davenport Street recently, where they lost some primary cables, but all that work has been completed.
But why does that happen?
Is that going to happen with the new...
work?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, they're, you know, Eversource is, you know, when a new development comes in, they're asked for load letters of what these buildings draw, and they have engineers that calculate the system. And I would think that they beef up their system to accommodate the current load.
And if we want to get information about, so it was hard for neighbors to know what was going on Davenport Street, for instance. Is there a place at Eversource that we can go for information? I mean, how do we learn what's happening in our neighborhood?
Something like that is an emergency, it was unforeseen. They had a cable burn, primary cable, which affected other cables. It was somewhat of a domino effect within the same duct bank.
What causes a cable to burn?
Could be anything, water on the wall.
It could be water, it could have been damaged on its installs that deteriorated over time. Could be many different reasons.
But there's nowhere for neighbors to go to find out what's happening in our neighborhood, really. Eversource
We don't have anywhere for you can go. I mean, we have a community relations person you can talk to.
Mm-hmm. And the website has an outage map on it, which is open to the public. If you went to eversource.com,
okay.
I believe it's eversource.com.
It is eversource.com.
And there is a spot there where you can hit in outages, and you can select Cambridge, and if there's a current outage, it'll tell you how many customers are out. I don't think it tells you the duration, but usually they have a robocall that goes out if you're out of power, and it'll tell you power would be restored within by 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, or whatever. So there is some communication if you're directly related and they have your correct phone number to notify you.
Okay, that's great.
But
that's helpful.
The website is somewhat helpful, you know, especially during outages. You could just click on it, it'll tell you how many customers. It doesn't tell you specifically what customers, but it does give you... you know, 10, 100, 800, so it really can tell you whether it's a wide or just your small area.
And I guess the last
one I had a question.
We will have a...
Anyone who speaks, I need your name.
Yes, Patricia Armstrong.
We will have a meeting, a neighborhood meeting, when we get our building permit.
Great.
So that, and we'll probably notify the Porter Square Neighborhood Association. I don't know if you're members of that. We'll have a meeting to describe, you know, the whole construction process, and also specifically people who are abutters whose properties might be affected by, you know, construction fencing and things like that, so that we can answer questions. And then with individual abutters, people who are, you know, right on our property line, we'll walk the property line with abutters and look at specific conditions around their land so that they can we can deal with landscaping or whatever that needs to happen.
So I just had an electrical question, which is, this shows stopping here. This is where the transformer is going to go?
That's the property line. The transformer actually is back about here.
And is that, and that's all going to be, the electric company is going to do all that work even onto your property? It's not
we are asking for the public way. That's what we...
this board here only you know, we only
okay.
grant locations within the public
right.
way. So once it enters the
private
property, it goes on the developer or the owner. Property owner.
We put in a concrete pad and conduit to this point from the transformer to here.
Okay.
And then...
Then we meet them here,
so but they supply the transformer as well.
Right. I'm just a little concerned about the location, because the transformer at one point was far away from there, and now it's back closer to my house, and I'm a little nervous about that.
It's more next to the Jehovah's Witness building.
Yeah. And sometimes transformers make noise too, so I'd be concerned about that.
Well, it's also right next to our units, so we'll be trying to...
Thank you. All right, so what the plans show, so the work on the opposite front is, does not need to be done from a previous permit.
Which one are we talking about?
The manhole 1200, I think on the petition that goes back a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah.
That caused these temporary lines to go up.
Right.
That manhole was supposed to be enlarged.
Right, and I think we were going to wait and do everything together. That's what you had wanted to do. That's why we continued it.
Correct. So this plan doesn't show that being done? Does it still need to be done?
It still needs to be done.
Okay. All right, so we'd like an updated plan showing that work.
That 1200 was going to be
I believe it was just being enlarged.
Okay.
I think conduits.
Okay.
I think the conduits were existing, but the manhole needed to be enlarged, so that will impact both corners.
So you want to continue it till next month till I can get the other
plan?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, and yeah, whatever work, we need an updated set, so I want to like to make a motion to continue.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
When is the next hearing?
It's the third Thursday.
Third Thursday
of March. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. For Eversource Reed Street. And this is northerly from pole 9, approximately 355 feet north of Ringe Ave. This is about 11 feet of conduit.
It's a new underground service.
Doing this work, or will the developer be doing this work?
Let me see what we have on here. Hold on a second. Customer.
The customer will be doing
mm-hmm.
it. You require on the 3-inch. You require a galvanized riser on those, or just PVC?
That I'm not sure.
So you'll get back. You'll get back to the developer whether this is approved or not.
Right.
Looks like it's coming from a pole or a manhole. Pole.
It's a pole.
It's a pole.
Yep,
yeah.
The pole.
You also let them know that this is for one 3-inch conduit, and if I believe you need a galvanized riser on that,
okay.
or whatever your requirement is, but this approval will be for one conduit. If they're putting communications underground also, then they're going to need to petition also.
Okay.
No, it's typical
okay.
conditions.
Sure. So make motion to approve with typical conditions.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, next one is for Walden Street. Also, this is northerly from pole 56, approximately 163 feet west of Sherman Street, a total distance of about 100 feet of conduit. So this is for the new development on the corner?
Is this for 269R?
This is for 269 rear, and I believe, I'm not sure, is this the address? Is this for the new development also?
It's part of it. 269R is the two family behind it.
Okay. Can you just state your name and
yep.
affiliation, please?
Maxwell Souza, S-O-U-Z-A. I'm the owner's rep for the 253 project, as well for the 269R dwelling.
I'm sorry, for the corner property, the old...
The 269R.
269R in the back.
In the back. And 253, which is a new development.
Which is the new development, right?
Correct.
What are you doing for telephone and communication, or not necessarily telephone, but any communication?
I think it's all overhead, correct.
You think?
I'm not 100% sure on that. This petition, I think, is just for the underground work, correct, for the power?
Correct, but the impact... all the way around to be digging more than once when you're
right. I think right now it's all going to the corner of Sherman and Walden Street, all the communication.
We haven't done if we've seen a plan on that at all.
For what?
The communications.
No,
yeah.
We have not.
So you're talking from over here.
You want to minimize the excavations to take place.
So
understood, I think.
So what they usually want to know is if Comcast or Verizon is going to go at the same time we are. So that's, they want to coordinate it.
Okay.
So I don't know if Verizon or Comcast is aware of what we're doing.
Okay.
So that's what they
I'm going to have to reach back to the GC on that.
So they might be fed from over here?
Well, I know we're coming across the street, so I know the main power is running to the corner here, or the main communication cables, okay. But it wouldn't make sense to go underground.
So you just have to figure out who you have.
Correct.
Given that, we should be able to coordinate all that for us and bring it to us.
So I'm gonna make a motion to continue also until we get all that information so we know the extent of all your conduit entering that building.
Okay.
So you bring it back to us next month, so we're gonna continue to next month. Motion to continue.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is for also EverSource for Winter Street, southwesterly from pole 6 across approximately 151 feet east of Carapa Street. Total distance of about 8 feet of conduit.
Hello.
Hey.
My name is Richard Venditti.
I'm the property owner.
So the question comes up, this work has already been done?
Yes. It's from the pole of the sidewalk, only 4 feet to the property line. There's three lines in already, the cable and utilities.
So the three conduits are there. Who owns the three conduits?
EverSource.
So this is kind of like the, should have came to first, you should notify the utilities before the conduits went in.
Yeah, I was unaware of that process. I didn't realize until I got the hearing notice. And I spoke with the electrician, and he said it's done. And I said, how is it done before the hearing?
So I called EverSource. Do you have any load letters or size of service that they've asked for?
That I wouldn't know. I'd have to ask the engineer.
Because it is plastic going all the way up. That's why I questioned earlier. Earlier rises about galvanized rises.
Right. And I rode by the other day.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Excuse me.
I'd like to continue this also. I need to clarify the existing conduits. Someone has to own those conduits, the other two. EverSource can take responsibility for the one.
Yep.
You need to verify that it's the correct method of the riser. Secondly, the other two conduits, they got to be owned by somebody, a utility. They can't be owned by a residence once entering the public way.
Was this work done by EverSource or done by your electrician?
The electrician. And the city inspected it because it goes back to a back house. What it is it's a house in the rear.
Right.
And I'm having a two-family built in the front, you know, the headlines are
right,
above.
Right, so I did see that, yeah. But it might have been inspected by the wiring inspector, but once it leaves once it leaves the property line, it's a utility issue.
Okay.
So it'd be a utility inspection.
So looking for verification on who owns the three lines. Two lines.
Well, I mean, if you've designated or the electrician designated one of those conduits for Comcast, you have to contact Comcast. If you designated one for Verizon, you need to contact Verizon.
Okay.
Or some other company. And whoever is going to assume responsibility for those other two conduits.
Okay, right now I think it's Comcast, but yeah.
Whomever it is, and the other one needs to be removed if no one's going to own it.
Okay.
And on our end, on the public works end, somebody's going to need to get permit from electrical department once this process is followed and DPW, and that's a very good chance that the trench will have to be opened up so we can get an inspection done on that to make sure that it meets the city's specifications as far as burial and types of gravel around the pipe and things of that nature.
Okay, I thought they had the city inspected in that while she was there.
Might be a little confusion to that part of it where it's a wiring inspection on private property and there's a utility inspection in the public way.
Yeah, because I know the contract left it open until the city inspector looked at the whole thing.
A little confusion there, but it does have the methods that the utility might require are different from what the National Electric Code might require, so they need to be notified.
Okay, who has to be notified again? I'm sorry.
The utility. So the Eversource on the electric, and whoever the other two conduits you want to have owned, you have to contact them. They need to apply here to the commission for a grant of location for those conduits.
So you, he's like saying you jumped the gun on it.
Right, yeah.
The horse before the cart, so that's why.
Yeah. So if I can get in touch with you after, Jackie, mm-hmm. I can, because I spoke with Rich the other day, so.
Good. All right. Motion to continue?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Jack. Comcast? State your name for the record.
Anthony Vallaro. V as in Victor. A-T-A-L-A-R-O.
Just give you a, like, a permanent card or a plaque.
I don't mind one right here.
Okay, so this is for 2050 Mass Ave to place a 3x3x3 Comcast manhole over an existing conduit in front of 2050 Mass Ave. Trench from newly placed Comcast manhole southwestly, 24 feet in the public way, ending at the property line of 2050 Mass Ave. This will include the removal and replacement of 3 sidewalk panels. So the Housing Authority?
Yeah, so they're doing a renovation there.
Right.
And right now our service is in the stairwell, so we're moving that out of the stairwell. And at the same time, it has aerial service that's crossing the business that's on the corner of Mass Ave in Creighton. So we're gonna remove that. It's an aerial trespass. So.
Oh, okay. So right now it's fit overhead and you're going underground?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're satisfied at DPW with
what's in place. So be a motion to approve with typical conditions?
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. On another note, all your upgrading you're doing out there, see a lot of coils and unfinished
work.
Yeah,
I've been on them.
Yeah, so going forward, if they send any more over, they'll be looked a little closely until we get that stuff cleaned up.
If you have any addresses you want to send to me that you know the coils are at, so
sure.
I can, because I've been taking pictures and
no men
sending them off to the fiber coordinator.
Okay. Yeah, because they're starting to get a little ahead of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah,
we appreciate the thinning of the bundles because that seems to be working well, but we still got to move on. A lot of the stuff isn't lashed and it's just hanging out there.
Yep.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Eric Callio, permitting manager with Mobility.
Okay, I think we had 3 petitions that were continued from last month.
That's correct.
And question being were...
Steve, we have a question in the back.
Mobility is up on the petition, and I'd like to ask questions about the line. Could you call me up
now? Sure. Okay. Yep.
Which is a nonprofit specialized housing home for people with disabilities. And so I'm hopefully speaking on their behalf today.
And what address was that again on Concord
15
Ave?
Concord
15
Avenue.
15 Concord Ave? So you're probably talking about the Garden Chauncey Street insulation?
Well, 15 Concord Avenue is a house for 10 young adults to older adults with disabilities. and we are an abutter, and I could not come to that meeting because of family situation. So we are abutters, so I don't know what that has to mean about anything at this point. I believe the telephone pole, or the pole, will be placed not so far from the bedrooms and the house in general. And people in the home have, I think there are three of them with autism and seizure disorders. And there's a lot of research right now about electromagnetic fields and such. And the less people with this sort of disability is exposed to these waves, the better. So I'm coming in not totally organized. I'm coming in for information. I have concerns. I'd like to know who this will benefit. I'd like to know why it's going up. I'd like to know if it can be placed as far away as possible from the residents. I'm here to listen. I'm not sure how this is going to go, but I do have questions.
Okay. All right, so this is this petition is to attach equipment to an existing pole.
Mm-hmm.
So they will not be adding a pole.
Okay.
All right, and the pole that they're requesting is on Garden Street,
mm-hmm.
and I believe it's at the corner of Chauncey Street, but on Garden Street.
The corner of Garden and Chauncey Street.
Okay, so that's the location and the request in there, if you'd like to just explain what that equipment is.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
What it does.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you. This is actually a picture of what we're proposing on that corner. So what I did is I had a photo simulation made up to show what this will look like when it's built. So to give you a little background.
I have no concerns about what it's going to look like. I have concerns about electromagnetic waves.
Okay.
There's a lot of research now that is out there about it affecting the fetus of people with, of creating situations with autism. There's also some research out there that it can affect the brain in lots of ways. People with autism have acute hearing. I'm concerned about any kind of noise that you may not hear, but my son and others in the household might hear. I have not had enough time to research this. I asked for more time.
Sure, to answer your questions, Ms. Kennedy, all the wireless carriers, especially Sprint, who we're working with, are regulated by the FCC with regards to radio emission frequencies. And the small cell antenna is going to be within the FCC permitted maximum exposure, if you will. So we are way, way under the allotment that the FCC requires. The small cell antenna actually is even much less than a regular macro site, or for that matter a cell tower, or any of the sites in the city that would have like rooftop installations. I recall in an email that I responded to you there was a EME report that was done by our engineer that I had provided to you. They have analyzed our equipment, and there is a radio frequency engineer that is certified in that report that our equipment meets well within the FCC regulations. With regards to that report, that basically is what the FCC requires us to provide to install this equipment, because you know we certainly have to stay within the license frequencies and those.
So I have read all of your material, and I appreciate all of that. You know, my concern is that this is an extraordinary situation as far as I'm concerned. If it were me, I would think nothing of it. I am just being an advocate for the residents in the house. You haven't answered yet. Like, why is this going up, and who is it going to benefit?
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy to answer
that's
that.
That's a concern of mine.
Okay. So this installation is being installed to help Sprint's customers with regards to their data capacity. So, for example, on your device, most people that have cell phones are able to use, their cell phones for voice and internet and texting. This area that we're looking to cover is going to benefit, area residents as well as the college students and businesses. So when a person uses their cell phone, if you will, for information like to, look up information online or to watch videos or listen to audio. It's going to help provide them a much better experience. Sometimes people right now will run into a scenario where they'll be online on their device and they'll get like a little hang time.
Can I interrupt you?
Absolutely.
So who initiated this?
So this technology, you mean? Mm-hmm. This has been around for
no,
a few.
No, who has initiated updating what's there at the moment? What company is initiating this?
That would be me on behalf of Mobility.
Okay. So, and Mobility Services Sprint?
We work with Sprint in this market. We do work with all the major wireless carriers.
Okay, so there are no residents in the area that this is was initiated by any of the residents who live in the area. This is solely a company that works with Sprint who wants to expand the services to the public.
So, just so I'm clear, it wasn't initiated by any specific residents. However, there is a coverage need that Sprint customers in this area have identified through means of calling customer service or, you know, through engineering. So this is why we've identified this location as helping those Sprint customers
and
with their data.
And why that location?
So, if I can show you this map. Area of interest. Okay, so this is where we're looking to install our small cell attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the proposed small cell. So there are Sprint customers with, Radcliffe College and Peabody School, as well as residents and businesses in this area that have Sprint, and they've identified needs for better coverage. So Sprint is trying to work with those customers for improving that coverage. So this pole that's in the right of way was determined from a engineering standpoint and through obtaining a license through EverSource and Verizon to be able to accommodate that small cell attachment.
Okay.
So this attachment is best utilized within a radius of a few hundred feet for its maximum effectiveness.
Correct.
So that's why this particular pole, the poles can't be moved, so they try to pick a pole somewhat at the best location to pick up the coverage that they're looking for.
So,
it's very similar to the ones you see on rooftops, well, you probably don't see, but they're much stronger and a higher capacity. These
right,
pick up
right.
The lower capacity.
I understand that our world is filled with electromagnetic waves, but at this point, I don't know what my recourse is. I don't feel comfortable at this time, and I don't know what it is that I can do to ask for more time to research this. I want to be sure that I'm advocating for people who can't. With autism and seizure disorder, there's a lot of research. I can hand it in about how the studies that have been done to show how it affects individuals with this type of disability. So if someone asks to do it or not, I would say no. I don't know what my voice can do at this point.
How much time do you think you would need to research of what you would?
There are 10 families. I don't live there. My son lives there. There are 10 families who support their children who live in the house. People are away. Some people are in Europe. I just retired. I'm a special educator, school teacher in Concord. My mother went into a nursing home last week, and so I have not had time to do this. So I'm thinking at least, I would say 60 days.
Are you concerned, Patty, are you concerned about a distance from where the
I'm
building is?
I'm concerned about my son will hear, okay,
mm-hmm.
With the vacuum on in a large house, four bedrooms away, he will hear Christmas ornament fall down onto a carpet. So we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if there's any humming or any, there may be research on that. I have not found it. But there is research that can affect mood. There is research on how this can affect mood, how it can affect behavior and how it can affect sleep disorders, as well as seizures. And there's a young lady with a seizure disorder. So I need some time with this. I'm not comfortable.
What was your anticipated construction time on these installations, this particular installation?
I mean, basically, the...
They've been stretched out in the past.
Yeah, I mean, we were planning to start, you know, once we get all the approvals. If I may add to your concern, Linda, one thing that we could do, if this would be amenable to the residents, mm-hmm. is to perhaps maybe have a meeting at that location. What I could propose is that I have a engineer come to that meeting to answer some of these questions, because I'm not
sure you can answer them, to be honest with you. I think the answer is in research. I think the answer is that, you know, it's here, it's happened. And so all I'm saying is that the more of this near individuals who have a sensitivity to this, the more it impacts them. So, you know, do we get rid of cell phones, do we get rid of cables? The more that it keeps getting added onto what they are receiving, what their brains are receiving, the more it's going to impact them. And I don't have the background knowledge to say how much or how little or if it even is a valid argument. What I'm saying is I need time for these individuals who cannot speak for themselves, who cannot read signs that say danger, to be sure that, you know, the city of Cambridge is doing due diligence on these individuals. And I, as a mother, am here as an advocate for this. I understand big business. It's running our country. But I want to make sure there's no other place this can go. I want to make sure that anything that this company can do to keep it as far away from this situation as possible has been considered. Money is involved, maybe going the cheapest route, I don't know. I want to feel very comfortable. Maybe my voice is just here and I'll be walking out here and paying my $30 parking ticket, but you tell me what can happen.
Yes, they are willing to meet with you on the site.
Right.
Maybe the engineers that will accompany them can give you some guidelines where they can bring some research with them. Maybe make things clearer.
That doesn't help what's being emitted and how it impacts sensitive individuals. Unless
you can bring that information with them.
If they can do that, you know, kind of research.
Actually, the person that I know, that I work with very closely, is a PhD that deals specifically with radio frequency. He's mm-hmm. done a lot of studies. We've talked to a lot of residents, even in Cambridge, with, you know, tower sites or rooftop sites. Mm-hmm. We did something at the Cambridge Housing Authority last year. He is very well versed, and
is he also well versed in autism and seizure disorders?
He's not a doctor, but he's actually done a lot of studies of radio frequency, and if I can address those questions with him, he would be more than happy to address
them. I'd like to
make a motion to continue this petition for Garden Street at least until next month, and that'd give you 30 days. And then in the meantime, if you could contact.
It's an extraordinary situation. We understand
that, and if you need a little time, I don't think a 30-day push-out is going to impact.
Well, I can agree to that continuance. You know, I would just ask that, you know, there would be cooperation on both sides, your community and our firm, to be able to schedule that meeting within the 30 days.
Okay. So we'll make a motion to continue until next month, and we'll take it up again, and hopefully you'll have more information and do more research. At that point, so on petition 8, which was for the Garden Street location, will continue.
Okay.
On motion?
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Also, for mobility, I think the other two were also continued, basically for an abutters letter that needed to be submitted.
That is correct, Mr. Lankowskis.
Any valid dig safe number?
Yes. So for the other two sites, I do have a copy of the notice along with the certified mail labels.
Okay. I think what we wanted to see was the letter. You're responsible for the green cards. And then you have to submit the dig safe number also.
Okay. So I do have the... dig safe number information here,
And then I also have the green cards, and I have the abutters listings, and I have the notice. That's also part of this.
Okay, all we need is a copy of the letter. You're responsible to hang on to the green cards.
Okay.
And if you can just submit that for the record.
All right, and so this is for Emily Street.
Okay.
Would you like me to?
Yeah, okay, thank you.
So that's for Emily Street, and then I also have them for Sumner Road in Kirkland Street.
First one, well, this is the petition 7 for Emily. Emily's for whatever it is. Emily's for poll 36. So we have the letter and the dig safe number, so we're all set with that.
Dig safe number is right here.
And
I also provided that for the one we just talked about.
Okay, good.
And I can actually, if you want, right now, I can provide that for the site that was just continued, the garden in Chauncey Street, if that would help.
Yes.
Okay.
Street?
No, no issue.
Okay, that's a side-mounted antenna, and it's going above the street light.
That's right.
So the Emily Street petition, make a motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. So petition 9, which is the Sumner Street location.
So all conditions?
Typical conditions, there's no excavation involved, so I just think if you need any parking, but you do need an electrical utility permit from our office. But
okay.
As a typical condition. The other one is Sumner Street.
Those conditions are acceptable to us.
Yeah.
That one, there's a pole top antenna, correct, on Sumner Street?
Yes.
Pole top? Okay. Motion to approve?
Second.
With typical conditions as previous petitions?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good morning.
Thank you. Firstly, Bend Street.
Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, Harrington, H-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. Good afternoon. Thank you for hearing me. We're looking to construct 2 4-inch underground conduits from an existing level 3 manhole numbered as 0515-003. It's at the corner of Fulkerson Street and Bend Street. I have a representative from Level 3 here as well to speak to that as far as permission. The plan is to construct 2 4-inch conduits along Bend Street, basically hugging along the existing Level 3 conduit system, and then turning and meeting up with existing conduits that the building's already installed to their foundation wall. They actually extend probably a foot into the street or 2 feet into the street underneath the sidewalk. So we won't have to, the plan is we don't believe we'll have to excavate the sidewalk. Because we believe the conduits make it just out under the sidewalk. The property owner is aware of what we're doing, and we have a property agreement with them. We are actually in the middle of amending that agreement because of this new entrance that we're coming into. A lot of the providers already enter the facility via another entrance. This is specifically requested as a diverse entrance for the customer who is upgrading their telecommunications, and they specifically need to come in a separate entrance from their other providers. So that's the purpose of the reason why we're coming in this way. The 2 4-inch conduits, one is going to be for First Light, and then what we do is we share, with the help of Level 3, with all the other providers that are in that system, we share what we're doing, and Level 3 is also asked to take part of it so we don't have to excavate this twice. So Level 3 is actually going to take part into the trench as well, and I believe Level 3 has also spoken to
upstairs to submit, right? What was the...
Correct. Oh, I talked to Ben Whitaker from Level 3. I did talk to Dan, and we were going to join as a participant. He said he did not have we should do that. Mm-hmm. But as you come to the hearing and talk to you, whether you file another application for next month or just be named as a participant in this bill, so I have a check to pay for whatever fees are necessary. So I'm not sure how you want to handle that.
If you're going to continue in the trench, you have to petition.
You have to petition.
Yep.
Okay.
You'd also have to notify all other it'd be a common trench, so you have to notify everybody else that's within that level three if they want to participate.
So that's what we do. That's what we did when we applied to level three, and level three shares that with information with everybody that's legally in that joint trench.
Okay, so
that's how we found out about level three when we sent the notice out to say.
Yeah, so you have refusals, and they're the only ones that wanted to participate in your bill?
That's the only people that have responded.
We just need paperwork for that to make sure everybody was notified. You can just forward that to us, and I guess you need a breakout letter, which you'd be... We typically, you have to forward that also.
Yeah, we can include that in anything, whatever's...
Yeah. So we can make a motion to approve with typical conditions and submitting the letters, but you would have to petition also. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anybody else within that trench... So level three, we need a petition.
So we'd file an application to be a participant in this particular bill?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
So we use the same map, essentially?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it shows on it 2-4 inch for them, and you already have the copy of the map.
Correct.
Right. And then the level three letter, the breakout letter, should that go to DPW or should that go to Dana?
It should go to Dana, and they can forward to us.
Submit them to the application.
Yeah, and then the other refusal so that we know that everybody's been notified and no one else wants to participate. So on those conditions?
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Great, thanks. Okay, last petition is for Verizon. If you could just state the name and your affiliation.
Thank you, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Everett Bryan. I'm a right-of-way engineer with Engineering and Data Solutions, representing Verizon New England at 125 High Street in Boston. Our petition this evening is to place approximately 180 feet of underground conduit from an existing manhole on Main Street to number one Broadway. And even though we're petitioning on Main Street to an address on Broadway, it appears that the extent of the excavation will be within the limits of Main Street. And I have a plan that has actually a beautiful plan but reduced quite a bit that I don't think I included with the package that sort of backs that up.
Is this for a new building that's going in?
There's a parking lot, I believe it's there, and they're going to make it a residential building.
So this is for a new residence?
Yeah, residential building.
So a new residential building. Okay.
Right. And on your web pages, I found a couple of sites that showed it pretty clearly within Main Street.
Does this excavation show on this new plan you just gave us?
Yes, it's shown. It's so reduced, you might not be able to see it very well.
Right. So it's heading into the parking lot with the between one Broadway and the old Red Cross building.
Yes.
It's also the manhole, the rise manhole you show on your excavation plan here. Is that proposed or is that?
That's an existing manhole. That's existing. That will be the,
what's coming out of there right now, heading west?
I have no idea. What's coming out of the manhole?
Okay. And do you state how many?
Four concrete and
four inch, huh?
Yes.
And the four inch are for who?
they're placing 4-4 inch. That's what we're petitioning for. But supposedly be all for us. I have no idea of anyone else involved. Nobody's
done
about
anyone. One would be for the city. Out of the four, one would be for the city.
Yes, that's typically the way they design them now, for the city of Cambridge. And the developer will be placing the conduit. Verizon will be just breaking out the manhole too.
So they're installing the conduit in the public way to the manhole?
Yes.
And who's doing that?
I don't know. It'll be the contractor for or the builder for MIT.
Okay.
I don't know who that.
So they'll need a utility permit from the electrical department before doing that, as well as all permits from.
And the question you brought up in past petitions, Steve, that I have is, you know, this building's going to need power, maybe other communication sources. Are they we? Want to have them look into that and coordinate that first before we move ahead with this? I'm not aware of.
No one has mentioned
it. MIT might be feeding us from another direction, but I'm not aware of it right now. And given
well, the main building there.
Are you in contact with MIT or with? Are you just a contractor for Verizon?
I'm a contractor with Verizon. Okay. Our engineer's in contact with MIT.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we'd like to see the scope of the whole project, where electric's coming in and other communications along with this, just to minimize the excavation in this area.
So you probably need to coordinate, have somebody from your company or MIT coordinate with the developers or company that's overseeing the construction to make sure that we know that they're coordinated, so we're not just doing excessive trenches all over Main Street, up and down Main Street.
Well, this would be specifically for communications coming into a Verizon manhole.
From Verizon.
Right.
There are many communications companies within this area that may want to join in this trench also.
Do you want me to send out notices to all these companies in this case?
I would consider this a common trench, yes, coming from this distance and this facility that it's feeding, that we would need a common trench letter sent out.
There's actually a level three. What's the word I'm looking for? But there's a level three communication.
The duck bank.
Duck bank, running right down Main Street and Broadway, that runs over the Longfellow Bridge.
Well, we have several manholes right in that vicinity as well.
Right.
So this would be going specifically to that manhole. It'd be Verizon conduit with the city going to the city.
We're just trying to prevent that if there's other utility companies. Whether it be power or communications, if they're in the same area, we could have several trenches. We want to try to avoid that. Let's get this thing done in one trench, if at all possible.
I understand.
And plus, we're still within the time frame of the moratorium anyway.
Okay.
So it's not like whoever's there is going to go out next week and dig up Main Street.
So the motion to continue pending common trench letter sent out to all providers and returned. And also coordination with all other utilities. I think we'd like to hear from if this being MIT, a full set of plans of all their electric and communication conduits that they propose leaving this property.
Okay.
Motion to continue.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Can I ask one question about the time frame for notifications? Is it 30 days? Wonder if I send them out soon.
Yeah,
this week.
I'm not sure. I'd have to check. There is a time frame.
I realize.
I'm not sure what it is, but there is a time frame that they're required to respond. Otherwise, it's just a no.
Okay, so you want me to coordinate with other utility companies?
Send out a comment. There'd be a list. You can get a list from the license commission of all the participants of all the companies.
Right.
You just send out letters to all of them, see if they want to participate in your trench.
Right.
And at the same time, for our benefit, we'd like you to notify the developer, whether it be MIT. We want to see a better scope of plan for electric, anything entering that property, so we have a better idea of what's happening in the public way.
I'm sure there must be something coming in from electric at least somewhere.
There. I would think so. Yeah.
Just want you to come at the same time.
Yeah. So we get it all on one sheet.
And just as a point of information, the young lady was speaking about the handicapped client. She was concerned about
yes.
the box on In a past life, I worked in a facility with a lot of autistic clients, and they are extremely sensitive. They can't tolerate some of them. Just the hum and the buzz from fluorescent lighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drives them nuts.
Sure.
So you have to be very cautious about that.
Yes, yeah. But hopefully she'll get her information and they'll come to some.
It's just the range from the pole to the house. I don't know what that includes smokes in.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for your input on that one. Yeah. Motion to adjourn.